here it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has seed. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving as one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we need to put off what we once did. Every sin that we ever committed, we need to get rid of that and become a better person in Christ. And we see this one more time in Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, we have to be apart from the world. We need to let the world see that we are of Christ and that we are different, that we have something in us that makes us special. And our works can help in showing that. If you go to Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This verse is pretty straightforward, and a lot of you probably know it already, but I thought that it would be important because we need to love the God. We need to show people that we love him. And we should be doing it with all of us, like all of our heart. We need to be showing it in every single thing that we do. And if you turn to Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you with my righteous hand. Okay. I didn't realize it was out of order. Sorry. Yeah, I figured that out. Okay, again, it's pretty straightforward, but it's something that we need to be reminded of, because we fear things quite often, and God is always there to help us through it. He gives us the strength that we need. We see it again in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ. Again, with us being anxious and scared and fearing what's going to happen, the Lord is there. He wants us to come to him for it. So we can show others what to do when they're afraid. And another example of that is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And a lot of you probably know this one as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Amen. So it's again with what we should do when we're fearing what's going to happen. And then if you can turn to James 5, 13. Mm-hmm. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. When you're suffering, you should be praying. Not going to your friends and talking or just crying in your room. You should be praying. I mean, that stuff is obviously okay too, but you should make sure to pray first. And if you're happy, you should be praising God for letting you be happy. And even when you're going through things, you should still be praising Him because He's giving you everything that you have. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 10:13, please. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation you also make the way of escape, that you may be able to hear it. We're going to be tempted. It's just a given. And being a Christian isn't supposed to be easy, but you're supposed to remember that God is faithful, and He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can't handle. He's going to let us get through it, and He's going to be with us every single step of the way, making sure that we still are with Him. And you all probably know the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22-23, but just to go over it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. But do we show these? Often, we don't show each and every fruit of the Spirit. We show the exact opposite. We're not patient. We're not kind. We don't have the joy and the peace that we need. We don't show everyone love like we should. But when you use these things, it says, against such there is no law. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. If we trust in God, and if we show the fruit of the Spirit, if we do all these things that He asks us, He'll give us His wisdom. He'll show us His mystery and His will. And if you will please turn to James 3:13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make in peace. So we have God's wisdom. We have that heavenly wisdom with us as long as we are saved. And we just keep living by the world's. We have that selfishness, that envy, and we don't live in that pure, peaceful wisdom that God gives us, that He lets us have. And if you go to Matthew 5:13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it out under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. what's the point in us if we don't show the love of God? If we don't show God's light, then we aren't doing what he wants us to do. He made us to show the world God. And often we just walk around living like the world. We live in the ways that the world does. And verse 13, it says, the salt loses its flavor. How shall it be seasoned? If it is good for nothing, it's to be thrown out. We just live like the world, and then there's no purpose. We're supposed to be living the way God wants us to, but we run the other way. I don't know what I did.
You didn't do it.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Now it's on the works. If you turn to Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're his work, and he prepared what we're supposed to do before we even knew it. So now we're supposed to walk in that. But how often do we really? And you can see us versus the world again in James 1:22, where it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. The world may hear God's word, but how often do we actually differ from the world? You know, people can hear his word every day, but if they don't do it, then what's the point? And sometimes we do that same thing. We'll hear it, we'll read the Bible just because we should. But then we don't take anything from it. We don't live the way he wants us to live when we read it. And you can turn to James 2:17 and 26. 17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So again, you see that, do you have the right faith? Do you show faith to people that's walking by you? Do you show the faith of God every day, even when you're going through those tough times? Do you have that faith that you need to get through it? And if you go down to verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You see it again. When you die, your spirit leaves your body, and you're just dead. So the faith and works need to go hand in hand for living as well. And next is the love of Christ and how we should be showing it. So Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then if you go down to verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things to come nor heights nor death, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have this great love in us, something that is so hard to explain and so hard for us to show. But we have that love from Christ. Christ loves us so much that nothing we can do can ever separate us from it. And then if you go down to Ephesians 3:19, so know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That was kind of just in the middle of it, but that's the verse that really spoke out to me. Because if we know that love of Christ, we will be filled with the fullness of God. We'll have that knowledge, that love, we'll have it all, and now it's our turn to show it to others. Jude 1:21. And that says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So now that we have that love, we need to keep ourselves in it. We can't just go back to the world every so often because we want to see that love. The world can't love us the way that God does. Now we need to live in that. And then if you go back to Matthew 5:43-46. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Right there, you can see that the world does have a sense of love. I'm sure that you guys can have a friend who doesn't know the Lord, but they love you. But the difference is that we need to love our enemies, too. There can be that person at school or at work that you just don't get along with, but you still need to show them the love of Christ. He still lets the sun be showing for the wicked, and he still lets rain fall on us. So if he's not doing something differently for us, then why should we be doing that for them? Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Again, you see what you can do. I know that sometimes I can get in a fight with somebody and it's really hard to forgive them because they could have said something to me that really hurt me, or I could have said something to them that may have hurt them and they don't want to forgive me. But we're supposed to forgive each other. I know that that's a lot easier said than done, but Christ forgave us after everything that we do. Over and over again, we sin, we do something that he doesn't want us doing, or we don't do something he wants us to do. But he still forgives us. He still loves us. And that's what we need to do with each other. Then if you go down to 2 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In Bible, we actually looked at this a little bit. We are all sinners. And here, he's saying that he's the chief of sinners. He sinned so many sins that it's hard to come back, but he can do it. And Christ came to save even him. So if he came to save him, then everyone can have that. And then if you turn to John 3:17, please. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So when you put these two verses together, you see a very similar message. Christ came to save sinners. He didn't come to condemn them or show them everything that they've done wrong. He came to love them, to show him the way that we should be living. And so if he isn't condemning them, then why should we? We're just like them. We all sin. We need to show them compassion the way that Christ showed compassion to us. Because if we just judge them, then they're not going anywhere, and neither are we. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we see something similar to that in Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, everyone goes through stuff sometimes, and it can be really difficult. And sometimes we're just so focused on ourselves that we don't pay attention to what another person is going through. So we need to be comforting each other. And no matter what you're going through, somebody else could be going through something just as bad or something worse, but we're too caught up in ourselves to be paying attention to that. When we should be comforting each other, when we should be growing in Christ together. And maybe they're not in Christ yet. You could be showing that comfort, that love. But so often we don't. So I'm going to challenge everyone in this room to comfort somebody else, to show them the love of Christ this week.